In this episode, you'll discover the one question you need to ask every day to start building unshakable trust your wife will love. So welcome in, Heroic Husbands, to the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is your one podcast for learning everything you need to know to become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. The three specific benefits you'll gain by listening to the end of this episode are: number one, you'll be able to eliminate the chances of the marriage cancer of contempt ever forming in your marriage. You'll have one question that will help you find clarity in any conflict. It's a major benefit in and of itself. And you'll be able to show your wife just how mature you've become as a man. Wouldn't that be sweet for her eyes to light up and go, wow, he's actually maturing. Well, there are the benefits that are on the table. If you're anything like me, down the years, and I still have this tendency in my mind where my awareness will go in the beginning of conflict, you go to a righteous high. Your awareness goes to what we call truth. You experience the first couple of nanoseconds of the experience. Your queen has said something, done something, not said something, not done something. And your nervous system, the amygdala, thalamus, emotional reactivity part, immediately does this nanosecond decision-making process, which is very often like 97-98% inaccurate, but it makes a judgment call of, is this safe, is this dangerous? And in conflict, the judgment is it's dangerous. So a cascade of neurochemicals comes through, blasts through your whole nervous system. And then your prefrontal cortex scrambles to make sense out of this emotional reactivity that has happened in nanoseconds. And it tells a story that is based off an assumption that there is an objectively decided upon danger in the situation. And then you think from there, and then you speak from there, and then you behave from there, and now you're in conflict. And it's only when, you know, the argument, the conflict, the conversation goes on for 5 minutes, man, sometimes it can go on for half an hour or longer. At some point you enter what we would call the curious phase. Some part of you is thinking, oh, she might have a point here. It might be that recognition of her having a point is so wrapped up in your truth bombing part that you'll still have a resentful part. It might be true, but man, she damn sure said it ignorantly, etc., etc. But there is some part of you that can accept, you know, in the deeper parts of the conflict, she has a point. And then own comes. I've spoken this in other episodes, but it's really important to get these reminders again and again. You get to some point of ownership. Sometimes it's at the end of the conflict. Maybe you're lying in bed after having an argument, or it's the next day as you drive to work, and you start owning. You start having this sense of remorse of, oh God, I said horrible things again, or I made her cry, etc., etc. So you start owning. I could have went at that way in a way nicer way, in a way better way. So it's true, curious own. If you're like me, first 12 years of marriage, that was pretty much the only damn way I did conflict. Trigger happy, go straight to truth, go straight to arguing, go straight to defending my perspective. And it was all circling on truth. It was all circling on this unquestioned subconscious intention of mine, right versus wrong. Oh, she's wrong in this moment. And all my defense, all my attack, all my blame, all everything that was coming through my nervous system was ultimately to protect and to claim what my perspective was right, and ultimately her perspective was mistaken. It's not a very effective way to go at things. But having spoken with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men around the planet at this point, husbands in marriage, and, you know, from just a couple of months married, and the main part of guys that meet is like, hey, it's 10 years plus, 10, 20, some guys 40 years plus of marriage. They're all nodding their head saying, yeah, Mark, that's it. That's the one way of going at arguments. So when you look at that, part of it is the righteous high. It's the major mechanism behind continuing arguments and the breeding of what I would say is contempt going forward in marriage. The breeding ground for contempt in marriage is this refusal and inability to recognize that there's another story happening there. And that is a lack of trust. When a marriage is really working well together, and when there's a mutual trust together, both partners viscerally want to maximize the benefit for their partner. You're working in tandem. There's a trust there. Now, the foundation of great trust in marriage, and I would say in any human experience, any relationship, parenting is as important to understand what the dynamics are and what's that foundation of trust. In my words, it's trust is allowing two human truths to coexist together in peace. And marriage fails when there is an intolerance of the story the other keeps telling. And there's this savage thing that happens, and that's where I was mentioning the word contempt. Contempt is what John Gottman mentions. He's this world-famous guy, 40, 50 years studying marriage and being able to predict divorce, etc., etc. And he's like, contempt, he terms as being one of the four horses of the marriage apocalypse. Contempt is this really deep-seated negative view of the other person. And it really comes from years upon years upon years of focusing on your story and not allowing the story of the other person. And, you know, it becomes a tit for tat. If you do that with your queen and then she's doing that with you, at some point you end up just not liking the other person, really having this negative view that becomes so cemented in that you, one or both of you, feel the only option available is divorce. And it's an absolute tragedy. It's not necessary at all. But in those initial phases of conflict, you know, before I can get to the, like, how you build trust, before you can get to the antidote, you have to understand the poison in some ways. I've mentioned before, there are six cognitive distortions. And in masculine practice, we grow by truth. So they're called catastrophizing, imagining that it's worse than it is. The confirmation bias, hey, that's inherent in this episode, what I'm saying. The confirmation bias is your mind only is looking for data to confirm what you already think you know to be true. Then there's the complex hero, simple bitch thinking, which is your awareness goes to calculating the 100 different reasons you have for showing up the way you have, but you will term that your queen is simply wrong. She's simply a bitch. She's simply just being horrible. It will slap one label on your wife as being X, Y, or Z, and it's not a very nice sounding name, where it will see the complexity of, like, poor you, I had to go through so many hoops and loops, and it's like, I might be tired, I might be grumpy, but do you realize the complexity of my life that has led me to this point? Then there's poor me thinking / personalization. It's all poor, it's all stuck on you. And then should statements, oh, the masterful cognitive distortion of them all, where you start, your awareness goes to the part of your mind that goes, you should have not said that. You should have been more considerate. You should be more respectful. You should. But it never really looks at what you could do a little bit different. And then totalistic thinking. It's like, you never, you always, etc., etc. So when you rinse your awareness in your mind through these six cognitive distortions, well, that's what you're doing. You are cognitively distorting reality. And when you distort reality, you are doing the last thing, which is trust building. You are going if there's a fork in the road and you go left and you distort reality, well, the right turn is creating trust. You can't go down both of those lanes at the same time. So you're either distorting reality, which is savagely corroding trust, or you're creating trust. If you are tolerating any of the cognitive distortions, you are really savagely breaking trust. There is one question that you can ask yourself that really powerfully helps you shunt from going the left path, which is cognitive distortions. Let's absolutely completely chop up reality into something that your persona believes can sedate your poor self-esteem, your shame, etc., etc. Let's do that thing that you've been doing since, you know, late childhood days when your whole belief system was set down. This question can help you stop the whole tsunami going down that lane and actually shunt to coming to a perspective that is closer to the truth of what is actually happening, and closer to a truth that is beyond your mind's capacity in the initial phase of conflict to even see what is happening. This question, it takes the wind out of the sails going down the cognitive distortions, truth corroding path. And the question is this: how does my wife see things? It's this super simple question. So simple that you can think, oh, for God's sake, like, that's ridiculous. What would that do? And yet, it's in one talk that I listened to of John Gottman of the Gottman Institute, and he's like, that's the one question he was talking about. How does my wife see things? Asking that question in the midst of conflict, asking that question, hey, a higher level leverage time to ask it is when there isn't really a conflict yet, but there's a certain topic, there's a... You ask it before there's an argument, before there's shouting, before you have went into, you know, a downward spiral of cognitive distortions. Have that as a daily question. It's like, how does my wife see things on this topic of, you know, where our kids are going, like where we're going to move our child to school after the whole bullying case? How does my wife see things about my desire to cut back on time at work? How does my wife see things in this conversation we're having about, you know, can my parents come over for the holidays or not? How does my wife see things on where our sex life is at? How does my wife see things on our finances? How does my wife see things? It's so simple. Yet the lack of having the humility inside of ourselves to ask this question with a genuine curiosity, a genuine desire to want to know what her perspective might be. When you build that muscle and build a muscle where you're like, even if you're in the midst of, hey, there's 20, 30 years of your wounding going, she's wrong on this, and like, you know, amygdala thalamus has gushed such a strong neurochemical mix of adrenaline, cortisol, all of this super, you know, fight or flight style response happening in you, and that initial wave, it takes great leadership to have the courage to go, I'm going to bring into question the tsunami of cognitive distortions that have been kicked over by the initial wave of my, you know, the default reactivity in my nervous system. I'm going to go beyond that and ask, well, what is it? What is her perspective on this? What is her human experience? What is she experiencing in this moment? That curiosity, that courage to know and accept as a husband that your nervous system can only print out what is your human experience. And it probably does what your human experience is in a really freaking inaccurate way anyway, at the best of times, definitely in conflict. You know, that default assumption that the amygdala thalamus has a great, it must be true if it has reacted in a fight or flight moment, it must be true that your queen has done something wrong or said something wrong, when in actual fact, the amygdala thalamus was conditioned to react to perceived dangers in intimate relating from your childhood. So, you know, your nervous system is not very accurate in establishing what is the absolute truth of a situation. So if you don't have the skill to do that really accurately for yourself, assuming that you've got the capacity to know what your queen should do or not do, it's interesting, you know, in cognitive distortions, one of the main categories that cognitive behavioral scientists have put is like should statements. This idea that, oh, well, you know, that is a distortion in and of itself. It's like you should have, you shouldn't have, should statements. And yet when we're in that righteous high, we feel that what we're saying, and oh, well, she should have, and you might say it in your mind, but she's picking up from your nervous system anyway that you're being an AH, you know, an AH on the inside. We really feel that we're in the full truth of it, but we're not. So to build trust is to allow you to have your story, as you also ask the question, well, how does my wife see things? How is her human experience? What is her human experience in this moment? What are the emotions that she is experiencing now? Without any part of you wanting to pick a fight and argue with the truth that is being revealed in her nervous system in that moment. And when I say the truth, it's like not the absolute truth, but if it's happening in her nervous system in this moment, that you can allow her have that human experience. That builds immense trust. I've done recent episodes where the three foundational points of conflict, where all conflicts arise from, the unspoken shadow process deep, deep down subconsciously. And the third key subconscious factor that drives all these unnecessary conflicts is respect and recognition, or the lack of them. And like, what a beautiful thing if you, in conversation with your queen, you ask that question, well, how is she seeing this situation right now? And if you can hold space for, hey, there's a part of your nervous system sees the truth, sees the situation in this way, that's your perspective. You can hold space for that. You don't have to start fighting over it. You allow yourself the right to go, this is my perspective in this moment. And you practicing, oh, that's her perspective. And you don't put it on your queen that she has to agree with you. And you don't put the pressure on yourself that you have to agree with her. That's a Mr. Nice Guy, Feminine Pleasing thing. You have the groundedness to go, I have my perspective, she has her perspective. And from there, can you imagine the power with you using these words? You know, when you know that one of the three main roots of conflict are recognition and respect and the lack of them, imagine the power when you use these words with your queen. It's like, baby, I recognize the way you are seeing this situation. I recognize that that is true for you. Thank you for sharing. And from there, you can tick the respect box, because respect comes from respetere, which is to re-see. It's like respect. When you respect somebody, there's a visceral feeling that your body would like to re-see them, to respectere, to re-see them. On that topic, you know, it's like when you can recognize somebody's perspective and go, I see you in that. I see that perspective. the next natural thing that your nervous system will be able to give that person is respect, because you have allowed their truth, their perspective exist, and you have allowed your truth exist, and allowed both of them coexist. Well, you will not be fearful to re-see them on that topic. You can respect them. And the funny thing is when you recognize your queen's truth, and she feels seen and heard and safe in allowing herself, her human truth, be experienced by her partner, she mightn't feel like she's going to agree with you, but she can respect you. And that's where you build respect. So you build the trust. And trust is at the epicenter of everything and anything that can be beautiful in marriage. So this one question, guys. How does my wife see things? How does my wife see things? I want to set you the challenge, the heroic husband challenge going away today. Just to make this real for you. You know, take one situation where you've experienced tension with your beautiful wife in the last week. Most of you will have it. And if some of you are have got it lucky and you're like, oh, I have to go back a little bit further, kudos to you. Well done. But find some point of recent tension, an argument, no matter how small. Look, any tension, if it's just a small one, well, that's a great one to start with. And if there's a situation that you can remember recently of like high stakes, a lot of tension, use whatever feels true and useful to you, but keep it as a real situation. And retrospectively, as you look back on that argument, that conflict that happened a day ago, a week ago, whatever, ask yourself that question on it. How does my wife see things in that situation? Really hold space for that. On your way home from work, you go get some time, go walk the dog, journal it, and get genuinely curious. How is my wife seeing things in that situation? Maybe it's a recurring argument. Maybe it's a long-term things. Like I brought up an idea there of, oh, can I invite my parents over for holidays? You know, maybe there's this long-standing boundary issue between you, your parents, herself, some recurring issue. Well, ask yourself that question. How does my wife see things in that situation? And get as complete a list of what her human experience is being, what her perspective is. And then tell your queen, hey, baby, I've been doing some reflecting outside of that topic, you know, when you're not there, so I can come to a clear-minded. And I'm actually building what I feel to be a clarity on what your perspective is. And this is, I recognize the way you are seeing things in this situation. I recognize you and I respect your right to have a different point of view. And you can leave it at that. And yet if you land it like that directly and she can feel the sincerity in you, there's a 90, 95, 6, 7% chance you're going to kick off a beautiful, spontaneous sharing, a conversation where she will feel seen, heard, and safe by you, building trust. And she, in that feeling of the visceral trust being built inside of her, she is infinitely more likely to accept and recognize and respect your stance, your perspective. That is what builds trust. And trust is, man, it's the ultimate currency for us as men. I've said that before. A marriage without a visceral feeling of trust as a man, that's like, we're only in our masculine pole, in our masculine grounded, where our entire system can die easy, die, you know, die from the day, die complete, die empty from the day, going, I came, I saw, I conquered. When we feel that there is a growing trust in marriage, no trust, man, there's very little of any visceral value in a relationship for it. So I really do encourage you to lean in on this challenge and ask that one question. How does my wife see things? This is in perfect alignment with the mantra of this beautiful movement. And this beautiful movement, I want to plant seeds here of awareness and excitement growing up, building up in the background. Myself and my beautiful queen are plotting and planning epic new changes, a joining of forces moving forward. It's rapidly coming together behind the scenes. It's going to be an even deeper version of the core masculine awareness that I've been speaking to potently, and bringing on the potent primal visceral feminine perspective as well, and creating magic with that. Every single one of you that have been listening in, it's only going to deepen the amount of value that I've been able to bring, my queen is going to bring. And we've already had multiple episodes together. I've gotten exceptional feedback from guys saying how meaningful they were. So yeah, us synergizing this together, it's only going to be more epic and awesome what we're going to be able to bring you guys. So excited to speak to that now, build up the anticipation for the rapid changes that are going to be coming. And yeah, you're only going to benefit from listening into it. It's only going to get better, better and better, in perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.